Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of the 1420 Sports Podcast. Four beer where the sports talk and a whole lot more. Brought to you by Bud Light, the beer that never fills you up and will never let you down. I am your host, Brent Radlinski, recording from the basement studios of Yankee Tavern North in Lethbridge, Alberta. Let's get into her.
All right, 1420 Podcast, Sunday, June the 13th, 2021. It's a smoker out here in southern Alberta, 32 degrees. I've been hanging out down here in the tavern today, keeping nice and cool. Lots of sports on. There was, I don't know what I'm more busted up about, the Yankees losing or Team Ukrainia losing in a thriller, actually, to the Netherlands 3-2. Quite the game. It was 2-0 early. Netherlands, Ukraine came back and tied it up, and then they gave one up late. Sound like a bunch of guys from Bonnyville, Alberta, or Manitoba were scoring goals for the Ukraine with the chucks and the everything else and the skis that were playing for Ukraine. So, anyways, Ukraine they put a valiant effort against a powerhouse Netherlands team, but nonetheless they lost today. Yankees lost as they seem to be doing more often than not. And then I was watching the we'll get into the NBA first right off the bat here, Jim. Oh, by the way, everybody, Jim's on the show today. Sound guy Jim's on the show. I get rambling sometimes. I don't know what I'm talking about. Jim's on the show joining us.
You're from the studio. Sunday.
And Jim, the NBA final or NBA playoffs are rolling a little bit right now. It's a little bit odd that LeBron James is out as early as he is. And what's your thoughts on that?
It's weird. I don't know what to think of it. It's, yeah, all it is weird. It's you're used to seeing him making it to the finals every year, but you know, it was a weird season. Went through so many injuries with himself and all his other teammates. I wasn't expecting another championship out of them, that's for sure. And he's what, 36 now? What are you,
18 years in the league, and how many times been in the finals? It's a lot of wear and tear in the body, especially with the shortened off season that they had. Quite shocked today. Watched the Milwaukee and Brooklyn game. Milwaukee took it to Brooklyn. The James Harden injury, the second game he's out, third game he's out now. Is that going to be a big factor in that series?
It's going to be. It shouldn't be as big of a factor as it seems like it might be, just because of the talent on that team. They should be able to get the ball rolling without Harden, but it's still, guy can put up points and help his other teammates put up points. So it's, you're obviously going to miss him, but I still think of them as a favorite in this series without Harden.
I think that they're the hands-on favorite, but you know, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen.
Right.
Kawhi Leonard last night, he came back with a great performance. They're up to, they're down 2-1 right now. I see the Clippers coming back, but the one thing I want to talk about, Jim, is the today is the 2-year anniversary of the Toronto Raptors winning the championship in less than dramatic fashion. It was a bit of a blowout in game 6, if I recall.
Yeah.
It wasn't much. Kawhi and the boys, they took it to the Golden State Warriors. What I thought was a shocker. I thought Golden State would put up a much better fight. There were some injuries involved in that series as well. But what do you remember about two years ago tonight with the Raptors winning their first championship?
I remember I was with the band at the time playing a show, and like a private show, a guy was doing a party, and they had the game on in the pool room. And my dad and I had the game recording at home, so we played our first set, second set, and then we went in, had a drink, and we're just waiting, seeing if we wanted to do a third set and or end it there. And a guy came up to me, goes, "Hey, you see the game?" I go, "No, I'm recording it though. Don't tell me what happened. Like, yeah, when I get home, I'm gonna be watching." He goes, "Oh, they won. Raptors are champions." And he just walked away.
Totally ruined your night.
That's like, I just told you, man. No, and so
that's,
I remember
an old Seinfeld episode that happened. Jerry recorded the Mets game, and Kramer told him he won. He's like, "Oh, geez, it was same kind of deal."
Right? And I was like, "I just told you, man."
Yeah.
But yeah. So I'm there, and I didn't tell my dad, but no, he was sitting there. He's like, "Oh, oh, getting all excited. I'm just, I know how this ends, not having a good time, trying to
that
pretend.
That might be the worst thing with the advent of DVR and everything else that we have. And then with all the social media that you have, and it takes a lot of work to not find out the score.
Yeah, you have to really put in an effort
to turn off every notification you possibly have, lock yourself down in a basement somewhere because somebody has seen something, or you forget one app that will just buzz something that give you the outcome of the game for sure.
Yeah, there's no getting around it, really. You kind of just have to accept, like, if you're not watching it live, you're probably going to find at least something out.
Sticking with basketball a little bit, Jim, who do you got moving on to the finals and winning this whole thing?
I have, it's weird to say from what the past 2 years have looked like, but I see the Phoenix Suns moving on.
And, yeah, I kind of noticed that today. Right. They're like that was a team that came out of nowhere. You hear how good the Utah Jazz are, and all of a sudden I look and Phoenix is right there.
Yeah, so I'm also, because it'd be cool for Chris Paul to finally get to the finals, get past that whatever third round he's never been to. But also, yeah, I see them coming out of there, and I see Brooklyn, I think, just
talent alone, they're good enough that they should win. They have enough talent where they should win. You don't, if you score all those points, you don't need to play how much defense. Right. Yeah. They got smoked today, but that's the way things are. Back to the Raptors, Pascal Siakam got it came out this, I think, was on Thursday or Friday. He needs shoulder surgery. He's going to put him out 5 months. So that means he'll miss the start of the regular season. The Raptors had a very bad season. He had a really bad season last in the bubble. It started, the things weren't going so good for Pascal, or Easy P, or whatever he wants to call himself. I personally think that Siakam probably should have sat out. You knew something was wrong with him, that he wasn't playing well. It had to have been an injury. They probably should have started his shoulder surgery right then and there, halfway through the season. They weren't winning anything.
Yeah.
Send him, get him into rehab to start the season early next season, instead of missing 5 months. That's something that could come back to haunt the Raptors for next year, because they'll get a top 10 draft pick that'll help their team. But having Siakam out for 5 months isn't going to help the Raptors for next year.
It's helping no one, because he's going to have another slow season next year. Because if they would have just taken the end of this season, when it really didn't matter because they weren't making the playoffs, and if they did, they weren't making it past the first round, then you have him missing the season and then being going through rehab and everything, going to training camp and being ready at the start of the season, back getting into his rhythm, getting back into the game. But now you're going to throw him in about partway through the season. He's going to be off, and that might mess with his mind and the way he's thinking. It might mess with his confidence. Like, because obviously you can see the last year, it took a toll on him mentally.
Well, that's the thing with the NBA compared to baseball and hockey. There's no minor leagues where they can go for a rehab stint and get into game shape and everything else. Like, either you're playing the NBA or you aren't. Yes, they have the D League and everything else, but
it's not the same.
It's not the same. They don't have a minor league system where they can get at bats or this and that in comparison to baseball. The Raptors really should have cut their losses and said, you're out. I don't know how it works if you're hurt and how you get paid and everything else. I mean, if he misses out on $1 million, he's got 30 other ones waiting in the bank behind him. He's going to be fine. Yes, you don't want to lose out on X amount of millions of dollars. I don't understand that, because I wouldn't know what that means. But for an athlete, like the NBA guys make so much money, whatever his partial paycheck would have been, he'd be fine. Well, and the Raptors, however it gets paid out, I don't know. But the Raptors should have said, hey, let's cut our losses for this year. Come back next year early, and we'll go where we can.
Well, yeah, and blowing that however much or however little he would have, if he would have sat the last bit of the year, that could have taken more off of his next contract as well. That's another thing that you have to consider, is because if you keep playing at this lower level and you keep decreasing in your level of play, you're not going to get that same contract next time. So
One thing I just thought of, does the NBA have a bit of a problem right now with drawing in fans because there seems to be not a lack of superstars, but there seems to be a lack of a dynasty, of a group that's going to win a bunch, because that's what the Jordan Bulls and the Magic and Kareem and the Lakers, and then you had the Celtics, so the guys my age, like from years and years and years and years ago now. Does the NBA have a bit of a problem now where there's not enough to draw fans in of my vintage, I guess?
All right. Yeah.
Do they have a problem trying to bring people into the game?
I think that there is a bit of a problem, because of course, yeah, dynasties are fun, and seeing someone bring down a dynasty is fun, and seeing the passing of the torch and all that, as well as there aren't those big rivalries that there were with like the Lakers and the Celtics teams up now. There's super teams, and you could argue that like Scottie Pippen and Jordan and Kareem and Matt, those are super teams, but you stayed with that team.
But that was out of the draft, right?
It's different that way. But yeah, so with the super teams and people constantly changing teams to go and play with certain players, whether it's to chase a ring or just because they want to go somewhere else, you're not getting those big rivalries, and therefore it's not as exciting to watch. Like a Celtics Lakers game isn't as exciting as it used to be, just because there isn't the rivalry and the emotion in the game.
Well, a Celtics Lakers game gets a lot of hype about things from the past. Nothing new. And I can compare it to obviously like a Yankees Red Sox thing, where there's not a rivalry anymore. It's really not. Like, people don't care. Like, the fans care, but the players don't anymore. It's the same kind of comparison, where there's no, because of free agency and the way things have happened and the way players move, and it's in every league. I don't think rivalries are even a thing anymore. No. It's more with the fans than with the teams.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And like, there are some player rivalries occasionally, but it's not the thing. Like when Durant first left Oklahoma, there was about a year or two where he and Westbrook had a rivalry, and then they played together in the All-Star game, and it's not a thing anymore. And that stuff was fun. It was fun to watch. It got people who didn't watch into the game. It got casuals more into it, and it got the people who watch every game, every second, every highlight, everything, had a new thing to talk about. And it was fun and it was entertaining. But yeah, with the way that the leagues are now, that's just not a thing.
That's just it's hard. It's hard to watch some nights with just the fake outrage that the media, or these fake rivalries that the media can come up with, that they aren't rivalries anymore. They're just not. In sports, it's just different now since free agency came in the 80s and all that, the money and everything else became so big. It's such a different era that I grew up in, but it's still fun to watch. Talk about it in a second here, but the Islanders just beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're up 1-0, so in that series, kind of a shocker today, but who knows? Anyways, 1420 podcast, we're everywhere where you get your podcasts, all over the place. We're also on YouTube, put a few more things on there today. Didn't do this at the beginning of the show today, Jim. What are you drinking today? Got a beer in your hand?
Yeah, I'm drinking the Lone Wolf IPA from Fernie Brewing Company.
Fernie Brewing Company, all the way out in Vancouver Island. How's things in the island, by the way?
Not bad. Quite weird, actually. It goes from sunny to southern Alberta windy in the matters of seconds.
There you go. I just stuck today with old Bud Light. Never fills you up, never lets you down.
All reliable.
One of the old reliable things. Anyways. 1420 podcast. Make sure you like, share, retweet, talk to people about the show. We're doing a pretty good job, we think, but we can always do better. 1420 podcast, Sunday, doing these two Sundays in a row now. Just too hot outside to do anything else. Have a few beers, make some food, barbecue when it gets a little bit cooler outside. NHL playoffs are rolling through. Jim, did you see the Montreal Canadiens getting to the semifinals of the Stanley Cup playoffs when the season started, and then when the season ended, how they just snuck in and beat two teams they probably shouldn't have beat, but they did.
Well, that's just like we were talking about last segment, playoffs, anything can happen. But at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't be surprised. I didn't think they were going to make it this far. I thought maybe they'd win their first round. End of the season, beginning of playoffs, I thought they were losing first round in five. And then next round, I'm like, well, the Jets are going to, and I was very wrong there as well, probably about as wrong as one can be, them sweeping it.
Well, the thing is that the Canadians have become very fortunate. If Tavares is in that series with the Leafs,
right,
Toronto wins. I'm not going to go as far as saying if Scheifele's in that series for the Jets that Montreal loses,
but it's not, they don't sweep.
It's not a sweep.
Yeah, they're not sweeping with Scheifele in there.
Like, people seem to forget that Winnipeg did stumble at the end of the season. They didn't have a very good. They lost 10 out of their last 15 or whatever it was, and it wasn't a good ending to their season either. Montreal had the same thing. They both basically fell in the playoffs because Vancouver and Calgary were so bad.
Yeah.
And COVID and whatever else happened there. But the Montreal Canadiens are a shock to me that they're where they're at. I don't see them winning two games in this next round, but they've proven us wrong throughout this entire playoff.
Yeah, I think they're losing it in five.
You give them one?
I give them one.
I would almost go as far as, because the way the emotions go and everything else, Vegas had a pretty emotional and physical series with Colorado.
Yeah.
I could see Montreal sneaking in there on game one, winning that one. And that'll be a kick in the pants for the Golden Knights. And I could see the Golden Knights winning four in a row after that.
Yeah. Well, and that's another series that we were just beyond wrong about, thinking that Colorado was going to the favorites. Oh, were we wrong?
Did they fall on hard times and it went sideways for them? After game one, I thought, oh my, this won't even go four games. It's going to go three. And
right. They're just going to say,
Vegas going to wave the white flag and say, that's it.
Yeah, you got it.
Was playing video game hockey for that game one and two. And then it just went south for the Colorado Avalanche. McKinnon sounded less than impressed in his presser after the game six loss to lose the series. But he did say, he says, I've been here 9 years. I'm tired of this shit. Is that his place to say something? Should there be an interview right after a game like that? Is it emotion just talking, or sometimes keep your yap shut, because you know what? You were part of the problem too, because you didn't score any goals either.
Yeah.
So who's right in that situation?
The thing is, like, yeah, you shouldn't interview the guy right after a loss, but guess what?
Part of the
Everybody
job.
Always gets interviewed after a big loss. Like, you watch the NCAA March Madness tournament, those 18-year-old kids are getting interviewed after they lost. Duke will be the favorite, and they'll lose to some 8-seed team, and they'll be interviewing those kids what went wrong. You're a professional. It's your job to be professional. He's doing his job. You have to do your job, I think. I think you don't get to say, I'm tired of this. You can imply it, but you can't just come out and say.
Yeah, because it kind of throws, to me, it's, this is how I take it. And it's, I could be 100% wrong. I don't know his emotions, his thought process. I've never met the guy. I never will. But for him to say, I'm tired of this, that's putting himself above the rest of the team. Like, okay, I'm great. Why isn't the rest of the team? Why isn't the franchise putting more behind me? That's how I interpret that. I could be completely wrong, but that's how I hear it. Like, I'm tired of this. Well, then do something better about it. You didn't score any goals.
Well, do you think they're having fun losing? They're not. Everyone's tired of losing.
That's just how I took that statement from McKinnon. I mean, we saw him in Saskatoon in 2013
at the Memorial
Cup, and he was on a different level. Obviously, he's obviously, I think he went first overall. We sat with Bobby Smith, the GM, and everything else.
Yeah,
the Halifax Mooseheads. It was a lot of fun, and I was sitting in a basement watching the Memorial Cup with Bobby Smith. It was actually a lot of laughs.
Yeah,
he was talking to us about how good this McKinnon kid was and how good they were. I didn't know that he was the owner of the Halifax Mooseheads at the time. Got on the Google machine, and it was a really good time. Anyways, I just think that for a guy to make a statement saying, I'm tired of this shit, I hope I took it wrong, like, I really hope that I, what I'm implying is wrong, but I think it's just offside for a guy to say that. Yes, you're going to say things that are very emotional at the time because it's so close and the memory's right there, but he could have worded his words a little bit differently.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Anyways, the other series that's going on right now, like I said earlier on, the Tampa Bay Lightning lost at home to the New York Islanders. I think right now, the sentimental favorite throughout the hockey world, from what I've heard and talking to people anyways, is the Islanders for whatever reason. It's their last season at Nassau Coliseum. I grew up watching them win Stanley Cups. They won the four in a row. They haven't done much since the early 80s. They won some playoff rounds in the past, like in the very near future or very near past story. I wouldn't mind seeing them pull this off. I don't know if they can because Tampa's really good.
Oh, yeah. It would be cool. It would be an awesome thing to see. I don't think we're going to see it, though.
Well, but they're 1 win closer than Tampa is right now.
That's true. You got me there. But, right. Yeah, it'd be cool to throw one last banner up.
They get two more games for sure at the Nassau Coliseum, and the fans in that building, I don't know how many games you watch, but I tune in and watch the Islanders games. I turn everything else off and I listen to those fans, and they are rocking. They're having a great time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, they're having a good time because they know it's the end of that place. They're making it count while they can, I think.
Another thing that New York at this time last year, during the COVID and everything else, it was a horrible situation in New York. I know Long Island and Manhattan are two different parts of New York, but New York was in a bad way this time last year. Mm-hmm. And I think the fans are just letting it out a little bit more, and they're having a really good time, and they're celebrating this team. They're getting good enough goaltending. Their Barzal scored today. Their defense is good enough. And I tell you what, do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs are regretting not having Lou Lamoriello as their GM now? Because he seems to be doing the job there in on the island.
He's doing something right. I mean, where are the Leafs? Where are those guys with all those with all their big contracts?
It's
they're sitting at home watching the Islanders.
I don't think they're even doing that because I think that's a whole other situation in Toronto. Who do you got winning the two? Like, let's go to the finals. Who do you see winning both rounds? And then who do you got for your Stanley Cup champion?
I got Tampa and Vegas is what I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I think Tampa's going to win it, but I don't want to see either of those teams in the finals.
I would much rather see God, I don't want to say that because you know what? The only thing worse than the Habs are Habs fans. They just are relentless. They don't stop. And it's just like enough, man. They're worse than Yankee fans. I can say that wholeheartedly.
You guys are pretty terrible.
We're pretty terrible too. Like the Yankees are terrible, but I would like to see a Vegas and Islanders final. I don't know if we're going to, but that's the one I would like to see. With the Islanders winning the Stanley Cup. That's my hopes are.
Well, yeah, that's what I'd love to see. I'd like to see, I want to see Vegas lose. Can they do that? That'd be so awesome for an expansion team to lose once. That'd be awesome.
It's crazy how they just, they just haven't really felt, I mean, they haven't won championship, but the fans think that this is just normal.
Right.
This is how hockey is. Well, you just buy a team and you go to the finals.
Right. Well, what do you think is going to, how do you think the fans are going to take it the first year they don't make the playoffs?
And that's coming quick because they're in salary cap hell already.
They're in trouble
next year. Same as Tampa's in trouble next year. But I think both teams are already $5 million with salary cap and they haven't done anything yet. It's going to be a tough goal for the Vegas Golden Knights in the very near future. The thing they got going for them, though, is the building will always be full once COVID is completely done and everybody got their vaccines and all that stuff. We talked about ad nauseum. And not here in the podcast, but everywhere else in the world, it seems to always talk about what kind of vaccine you got and if you got one. Yeah. But once they start losing, people are going to go to Vegas to watch their teams play. Like when the Minnesota Wild go to Vegas for a Wednesday night game, Minnesota Wild fans will make a trip to go. I don't know why it took this long for a professional sports team to get to Vegas and right. dip into this opportunity where you're going to get the out of town team no matter what. So right. you're going to get 10,000 more people. That means the hotels are full. People are gambling. People are having a good time. I don't know why it took Vegas so long to get into the professional sports business.
Right. It's literally a place that people go to shit away money. Why wouldn't you give them one more place to do that?
That's just
especially it. A place where it's so you. It's easy to charge to make money at a hockey game or a basketball baseball game, because boil a hot dog and that's $12 right there.
Yeah, done. And people are going regardless, and then you can charge more for your shows before and after this morning event. Why it took that long, I have no idea. There might be some ins and outs that we're unaware. We're probably unaware of in the 1420 podcast world, but maybe there's some things we don't want to know why they didn't have teams. But it's a great atmosphere from what I've seen. I've never the producer's been to a game there. Her brother's been to a game there a few times, and I guess it's something to behold, the atmosphere in Vegas.
Wow, yeah, I bet that it looks like so much fun. They're always having a great time there.
Vegas is a lot of fun even without a hockey game, and it can anyways, 1420 podcast, we still got a hat for sale and t-shirts and sweatshirts and all that stuff, so if you want one, get a hold of us. We'll send one out your way. We pay for the shipping, and it's a good way to promote the show. I got one on right now. I gotta get another one. It's getting a little bit dirty, but getting sure I'll just start wearing a hat. You're starting to get a little thin up top.
Oh, that's just not true.
That's not true?
That's just not true.
We'll put this on YouTube. You want to see thin up top, I'll show you my dome. It's quite terrible, actually. Anyway, 1420 Podcast. We are everywhere where you get your podcast. We touch on this subject on a, I don't know, bi-monthly basis a little bit. I want to get a person who's played minor sports in the academy era, I guess you could say. Academy's been around for 10, 15 years. So this is right in Jim's wheelhouse with minor sports. And I haven't let my opinion be known 100%, but I've let it out a little bit. I am 100%, and there's multiple reasons. And I'm going to get a little bit of pushback. And if people want to get back at me about this and about sports academies and high school kids and everything else, get back to me at 1420sports@gmail.com or social media accounts. Going to get a little serious here on a Sunday afternoon, but I think sports academies, are the worst thing to ever happen to minor sports. And it ain't close. I think that what they have done, they've made parents broke. They've made elitists advance further than they should. They've made a lot of people a lot of money. They haven't done anybody, I shouldn't say anybody any good. That's a wrong statement. I think they have hurt communities. I think they've hurt community sports. I don't have much use for academies. People are going to come back to me and say, well, you went Notre Dame. Well, yes, that was before it was an academy. And I went Notre Dame because honestly, I couldn't make a sports, a hockey team in Lethbridge, Alberta. I went Notre Dame and I made a double A midget team. Then I played junior B. Then I ended up playing junior A. And then that was it. I don't have much of a soft spot for academies, Jim. Jim, you grew up, at an age where people started leaving your minor hockey teams at a young age, and then your baseball teams, they were going. I know the one kid that a good baseball player. He went to a different school to play baseball, and all the power to him, like whatever.
Yeah.
But did those kids leaving your community teams, did it suck for starters?
I hated it. It sucked because, well, we had been playing together since we all started, and we were a good team. We were from Parkville, super small and all that, but we were always a really good team. But these kids and their parents, they wanted scouts to see them. So, well, we're going to send them to Victoria. We're going to even just Nanaimo. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. This team is tier one. We're only tier two. So let's go to tier one where there's more players and there's more. Yeah, there's going to be more scouts there. That way he's going to make it to the NHL. Here's the thing. If you're going to make it to the NHL, if you're going to make it and play junior, you're just going to do it. You don't need to go and find people to play on a team. Because if you're good enough, they will find you.
100%. And the thing that bothers me about that is that when just because you're playing on such and such a team and this academy thing and that you're going to get more scouts with the internet now compared to what it was, man, back when I was a kid, scouts would show up. If they heard about somebody, there was telephones. And now there's all these videos, this kid's doing this and this kid's doing that. I don't think you need academies. And what I don't like about the academy thing is that now what you're doing is you're taking kids away from kids who might also be good.
Yeah.
If you play with better players, you're going to improve your skills, whether it be baseball, hockey, basketball, whatever. If you're playing with better players, you're going to get better. And yes, that goes completely against like what I'm saying with academies, but in a small community, like let's say if a kid is underprivileged, if he plays with, let's call him Billy, and Billy's a superstar.
Yeah.
Sammy's going to get better playing with him. But now Sammy isn't going to be as good of a player if Billy leaves to go to play with a bunch of other Billies.
Yeah.
So it's taking, well, it's taking how much a better kid's chance away, I think.
Well, and how much better is Billy going to get? Because at the end of the day, it's not hard to get into an academy.
If you got enough dough, you can get in any school you want.
Right. At the end of the day.
Do you make whatever team? I don't know. Like, I don't know enough how it all works. But I've seen enough academy kids who aren't very good, but their parents have dough.
Oh, yeah.
So they play and they get better training. Does that make them better? No.
No, it doesn't.
At the end of the day, Jim, there's still only X amount of NHL spots. There's only X amount of junior teams to play on. There's only X amount of scholarships. And if you're not good enough, you're just not good enough. Are kids getting a better opportunity because of these academies? I don't think so.
No, they're not. Well, I played with, I think, four players who went and played academies. Two of them played Junior B for 2 years. The other two didn't play their last year of midget hockey.
They quit.
They were done with it.
Like, it was a full-time job, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when they were 15 years old, when they should have been out stealing beer from their dad's fridge and having a good time and everything else, or whatever. Like, I'm not saying you should do that, kids. Don't, if you're listening to this. When that becomes your full-time job at the age of 15 with all these, this dry land training and the spring hockey and all of it, like, what's it doing? Like, all it's doing to me is padding someone's pockets who opens these academies up.
Well, and that you get tired of it to a certain point when you're at the academy, it's your job and it's a class. One of your courses is hockey practice and is all that. And that's just the only thing you're doing. Sometimes the summer would come, I just want to go play baseball, man.
Yeah.
I want to just go hang out with my friends sometimes on a Saturday night. But I can't because I have a game on Sunday.
When the best hockey player ever played the game said kids need to play more than one sport and not be central. Like when Wayne Gretzky says that, maybe other parents should listen.
Yeah. Well,
when kids are on the ice 300 times a year or on a baseball field 300 times a year, I don't think that's healthy.
No.
You look at baseball. We'll talk about that a little bit. There's a reason why these kids are all getting Tommy John at the age of 18 because they're throwing the ball too much.
Right. Go play lacrosse, man.
Do something.
This is awesome.
Another thing I thought about when I think about academies, how it takes away from a community. There's some of my best memories playing hockey. Yeah, I went to Notre Dame and played junior, and those some really good memories, a lot of good times. But when you play in a community like Fort McLeod, small town, you remember some random freaking game against High River in March of 1987. Yeah. That means nothing in the vernacular of the world. But you remember stuff like that. And when you go home or you're sitting around the fire or you're sitting around with some friends, you can talk about a stupid fight that happened. And I don't think academies have that because these kids come from all over and they become robotic.
Yeah.
Whereas if you play for your community and play for the team in your town, when you're selling insurance 15 years from now and your buddy's the bartender at the local bar and you can sit and have a bullshit with the guy and say, hey, do you remember that freaking game? What was that guy's name from whatever community? Academies,
you're not getting
don't
that.
Have that.
You're not going to get that.
The parents don't have a relationship with each other because they're in and out and in and out. Like, well, this year Johnny's not coming to play for this team because we don't have enough money. Or Johnny changed academies because he wasn't getting the scouting that he thought he should have been getting. I just think that, like I said, at the end of the day, there's only X amount of spots left.
Yeah.
And just because you go to an academy doesn't guarantee you a spot.
Because either you're going to make it or you're not. An academy is not a ticket to making it.
Because you know, like I said earlier, you were part of the insurgence of the academies, I guess, when they first really became a thing, like Edge of Excellence and Edgy and Ice or whatever they're all called. There's so many. Was it the parents pushing academies, or was it kids wanting to go to these academies, or a combination of the two? What do you think?
I think it was both. I think it was a lot of the parents were like, oh, our kid might want this. Our kid, he loves hockey. What if we just, boom, all he's doing, immerse him in it. And because we were freaking 12, it'd be like you're in the NHL, man. Let's do it. That'd be so cool. 2 years later, you're like, this kind of sucks. I want to go have a beer with my buddies right now, but I can't.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any buddies because I went to the stupid freaking academy. So, yeah, we wanted to do it to an extent. I didn't want to. I didn't think it was that cool. Mm-hmm. But a lot of my friends were like, yeah, I would do it. Totally. I'd totally do it. And I get why. Because, yeah, and it made you feel cool. You went to this hockey academy. It made you feel like the man. Like,
no, I get that. Go back 26 years when I was at Notre Dame. Like I had a sense of not entitlement, I guess the wrong word, but I thought I was pretty cool too, but
it's an ego thing. It's an ego boost, right? But I don't think anyone who went thinks it was the best time of my life. And I'm so glad I did it. They might not be like, oh, that was stupid, I shouldn't have. But I think that if they could have gone back and not done it, they would have maybe not done it.
That's the feeling that I get with guys who, like, it's just they it's such a cutthroat operation too. There's so many people stepping each other's throats about their kids trying to get advanced. I mean, politics have been a part of the minor sports world forever. I just think that minor sports is supposed to be about learning, having fun, life lessons, meeting people, community. And with these academies, I think that a lot of it gets lost. I think there's a lot of people living high in the hog who are making a lot of money off of people with a lot of false hopes.
Yeah. Well, and my parents didn't put me in minor sports so that I could become a professional athlete. And I didn't play sports to become a professional athlete. I did it as something to do because I enjoyed doing it, but it's also, yeah, that's where you learn all these lessons. It's where you meet lifelong friends. It's not about going and becoming the greatest of all time. For some people, maybe it ends up being that, but that's not what minor sports are there for.
In all the years that I played, like, it's such a short part of our lives, from the age of 5 when you start skating, or 4 till you're 18 years old when midget hockey ends. You play with a lot of players. And I was lucky enough to play junior hockey, like I said. I can count on one hand the amount of people that I played hockey with, and there was a lot that made the NHL.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I went to a lot of different communities that but there was four guys that I played hockey with, I think, that made the NHL. So, warning to parents, hey, your kid ain't making it. If he does, great. But you're barking up the wrong tree if you think paying a bunch of money to these people who promise something that you're getting in. Because you know what? There's a lot more countries playing hockey now. Just because you're Canadian with heart and soul and all this other stuff, it's even tougher now. Well, so save your money, maybe put it away for a trip to Disneyland with the family.
Well, and I think Jeff O'Neill said a while ago about all this, but he said, if you're going to the NHL, you know.
Yeah.
Like I knew when I was young.
Yeah.
Going better. Right. You're just better. You know that you can. Paying extra money for this extra training and all that. If you need it, you're not going to make it. Right. And if you're That's going, exactly. you don't need it. So think about that. If you're putting your kid in this academy because it's also a really good school, go ahead. Or if you're doing it because you think that we're wrong, go ahead.
It's like one of the best I ever played with guys that were really, really good. But Harry York, he didn't work out. He didn't train. He was just a big dude. He was just really good at hockey and he made it.
Yeah.
No academy needed. I mean, it's but maybe it's a stepping stone for maybe a scholarship and stuff, but you would get those if you were, I don't know. I'm anti-academy. We can beat this. I think we're on the same page here, and there's people who completely disagree with me and I get it. There's people who agree with me and I get it. I like you more, but I just think that, you know, put some money away and take your family to Disneyland instead. They get a lot more enjoyment out of that and memories to be had forever.
Yeah.
Your kid doesn't need 13 different track suits and 7 different hockey bags and everything else. I save your money. Do something different, because if he's good enough, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to be at these academies. People are these shooting clinics and everything else, the skating clinics and everything else. If he's good enough, he or she is going to make it. Anyway, we'll get off the deep subject on a Sunday afternoon here. We'll get into something a little bit more lighthearted for the next segment of the 1420 podcast. We are everywhere where you get your podcast. 1420 podcast. We got a little bit deeper than we usually do on a weekend edition of the show. Usually it's a lot of laughs and everything else. We got a little deeper than but I wanted to get to a person who grew up in the Academy era. I wanted his take on it, but let's get into some fun stuff. Lately, we've been talking a lot about music on the podcast. Big part of my life, big part of Jim's life, obviously. Jim, before we get into it, tell us about what's going to happen in the fall with your music endeavors.
In the fall, I will be attending a new a music academy in, speaking of academies, it's called Nimbus Academy of Arts. I'm going to a music school in Vancouver. It's a 4-month program for artist development, so I'm also going to be learning some... getting myself a little into the producing area of music, as well as writing, performing, and marketing. And it's going to be a full-on, pretty much 24/7 gig for 4 months. I'll still be doing the podcast with you guys, so I'm not going to sleep the whole time. But I'm
you cool might with make that. It better. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Not the content, but the sound, anyways.
Yeah.
The content's what it is.
Right,
we can't fix that. There's no way around
that's
that.
Just the way it is.
Yeah,
you take it or leave it.
Well, congrats on that, Jim.
Thank you.
The guys from 5440. What isn't that one of the guys running?
Yeah, the lead guitarist Dave Genn is one of the main instructors, as well as 5440's manager is another instructor at the school. So that's very exciting.
That's really exciting news. Don't tell them that I think that Ocean Pearl is one of the worst songs ever made. I hate that song.
It's
awful.
You've heard it too many times. That's the problem.
I've never liked it from day one.
No, you're lying. You just like to be mad at things and hate things.
No, I don't like, I never liked that song. I hate that song.
I can I know that the first time you heard that guitar riff, you bobbed to it a little bit. I know that you did. Yes, you did.
I think I turned it off CJOC or the river or whatever it was.
Oh, way to go. Yeah, yeah. You turned it off the radio station. We just stamp that. Make sure that I...
Anyways, 5440. Good for you, Jim. Congratulations on that for your music endeavors. And we're hoping for big things for you. Anyways, got to talking, thinking about some topics for the show and listened to the radio the other night. And there's some bad songs out there that... Your mother is my sister, and her music taste is kind of close to mine. That we grew up in Fort McLeod in the 80s and the early 90s there, and there's some songs that aren't very good that you probably think aren't very good that I probably like. Jim, is there a couple songs that come to mind that your mother might like that I might like that you think are just absolutely atrocious?
Oh well, I know that my mother doesn't like this, but I don't know where you stand because literally anything Crash Test Dummies.
I agree.
What the hell is that about?
They should never have been famous.
They should never have been a thing. They are terrible. I hate them.
Like that song, was it Superman Never Made Any Money?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Brutal. Song. Brutal.
Horrible. What was their other one? They had
that or whatever it is.
Yeah, Crash Test Dummies. The thing with them, they were Canadian, correct?
Yeah. So that
might have been the thing here in Canada, because of Canadian content, along with Ocean Pearl, we had to hear those songs because you had to have X amount of songs with Canadian content. That's something that drives me nuts too, is that there's so many other Canadian bands. Why do we still have to hear Glass Tiger, Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone on the radio? There's so many other songs that could be played throughout this great land of ours that don't require the Crash Test Dummies and Glass Tiger.
I don't think I've met a person who likes those songs.
Horrible. Horrible. When your mom and... your uncle and myself were heading down to New York City a couple of years ago. We got to Toronto Airport, and that was on the speakers in Pearson in Toronto. And your mom just yelled out, "Would somebody turn this off? We don't need to hear Glass Tiger anymore." And it didn't turn off, but as your mom would, it didn't change any minds. Anyways, give me another song, Jim, that you don't think's very good that was quite popular to the rest of Canada.
All right. 1979 by Smashing Pumpkins.
Not a good song.
I hate that song.
I have a big disdain. So we're on the same page here, Jim, which is quite astonishing.
That's good.
I have a very big disdain for the grunge era. With the Crash Test, Smashing Pumpkins, and with Nirvana and the like. It ruined the hair metal days and the Nothing But a Good Time, Poison, and Bon Jovi. It went from one extreme to the other, and I don't think the other extreme was very good. 1979 is a downer of a tune.
It's brutal. So what? So you're anti-grunge, we'll say. Like, are you no Pearl Jam, no anything?
I don't like Pearl Jam.
You don't like Pearl Jam?
No, I don't like Pearl Jam.
You can fuck off and all that.
I don't like Pearl Jam. Never have. The best song that Eddie Vedder ever, I almost said Eddie Money, the best song that Eddie Vedder ever did was Someday We'll Go All the Way, Chicago Cubs video when they won the World Series.
All right.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, Eddie Vedder's great.
And when he did the 7th inning stretch, taking up the ball game at Wrigley Field during the playoffs, other than that, Eddie Vedder has not put out a good song.
You're just wrong.
Well, I don't think I am, but...
Oh, man. That bugs me.
Well,
what are some of yours? Okay, I'm going to hang on to this. No grunge at all.
No, none.
What? Like, not a single, not even that Black Hole Sun?
No, terrible.
Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. It's not fun. It's not a good time.
No Soundgarden.
None. Oh no, never.
No Chris Cornell. Not even Audio Slave. Nothing.
Nothing. No, it's not good. It's
I know
it's all
you're
the same song. It's terrible.
It's not. But okay. I know your feelings on Nirvana. You can't even listen to any Dave Grohl because you hate them.
Yeah, that's right.
Like I said
on the podcast you were on with me before, he might be a hell of a nice guy.
He's amazing.
He seems like a really decent dude. Be a lot of fun to hang out with, but I don't get it. Nirvana just did it for me. I just never got it. Okay, here's one. Okay, it's more your sister's thing, but your age group, people that you're in in your vintage would listen to the one that I don't get, Billie Eilish.
Me neither.
That's terrible.
It's not for me.
Mumble rock or whatever they call it.
Mumble rock, mumble rap. Just say your fucking words.
I don't understand that the Billie Eilish thing. What are kids nowadays listening to on a consistent basis? People like you're in the music industry, I guess. We could say that with a little bit of hesitancy, but not a whole bunch, but what do your buddies listen to? So, like if you guys were going to go to a party, you can't be doing because of COVID, still restrictions.
We'll say two years ago at a party in high school, what were we doing? Stuff that I hated. So there's this, like, it's like just rap stuff. I don't like it. It's very, very uncreative, unoriginal stuff. All like how you feel about grunge. It's just all the same song. It's all words that don't mean anything, and they're annoying. A lot of mumbling, a lot of just making noises. Like there's nothing. So yeah, a lot of people like it's called SoundCloud rap now, and I hate it. I can't stand it. But then there's also like a lot of artists who are trying to kind of bring back the rock scene. Like there's a couple rappers, guys who started off doing rap music, and they're like, wait, this looks more fun. And so now there's a couple guys who are starting to release like rock albums and stuff. But that's still a ways away. So it's kind of a weird area right now, music-wise, with what's most popular and all that, because it's kind of in between. It's some people still listen to stuff from the 80s and 90s. Like,
well, they
some
should.
Of my,
it was really good.
I know a lot of people who they're like, no, I listen to Motley Crue when I drive, and that's it.
Nice.
Right.
I always laugh at that because people. I was curious. I mean, I haven't been to an 18-year-old party since I was, I don't know, 22 or whatever. But I always wonder what kids are listening to, like if they're sitting around the fire or whatever, or at a house or whatever, does AC/DC still come on?
Yeah, AC/DC comes on.
As it should.
Yeah. Every now and then, Kickstart My Heart, Smoking in the Boys Room will come on.
Jim, I'll tell you what. Back in the day, about 1993, when your uncle had a full head of hair, Kickstart My Heart, I would put my helmet on top of the net, and I would have a hair skate for the ages, my friend.
I bet.
Flipping the lid back. Not as long as yours, but way cooler.
Oh, way cooler. Okay. You probably had a mullet or something corny like that, man.
No, it was the long bangs down the face, flip her back. Oh yeah. It was nice.
It was something to behold, hey?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. No, there were some hair skate songs that I tell you what, if I can go back, I wouldn't want to get hit with a hockey puck ever again. Not that many hit me, but.
you played dodgeball out there.
I played dodgeball out there. Vulcanized rubber was not my friend, but. If I could go one more hair skate, that would be that'd be one thing I'd love to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so name one more song that you don't understand why it was popular back in the 80s and 90s, and we'll get on with our lives.
Let me go over my list, because I made a list, and I got to pick a good one. Okay.
Give me 10. I don't care. We got none but time.
Yeah, no one's listening.
No one's listening anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I got... What is it? Let me think. Well, a lot of the ones I have are on your like worst one-hit wonders and worst songs ever.
Well, they're bad then.
Yeah, that's the problem, is we've already talked about them. Okay. Literally, that What I Got by Sublime was in the 90s. That song was huge. I don't like it.
What was their other big song, Sublime?
Santeria. That song. Yeah. That song,
a lot of people like it, and I think I did at one point.
I get why people.
If I hear it one more time, I might go postal. I'm so tired of that song. And I repeat songs a lot, and I play the same 30 songs over and over and over when I'm getting into it a little bit. Yeah. One man bender with my guitar and everything else. But if I hear Santeria or whatever it's called one more time, I might lose my shit.
I don't blame you.
It's not a bad, it's just I've heard it. I've too many, it's just.
Yeah, it's not. Know. Well, and it's.
Didn't that guy kill himself too? I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that one. 1420 podcast.
Well, I'm willing to fact check. I'm willing to fact check.
I thought he killed himself or OD'd or something.
He might have.
I don't know why I even thought that, because I don't know the guy's name for starters, but.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Now that I'm here, we can check facts.
Sublime. Yeah. Santeria, and what else? What was the other one?
And What I Got is...
That's terrible.
Brutal.
That's a terrible song. What do you think about Poison?
Overrated.
What?
I get why people like them, but...
Jim, you have... When this whole COVID thing's all said and done and everything's go, we got to find a Poison concert to take you to, maybe in Las Vegas for your 21st birthday or something. We'll figure something out, because there is nothing quite like a Poison Def Leppard concert to really get the juices flowing.
I don't. Okay. Every Rose Has Its Thorn is what that's my song. Every Rose Has Its Thorn. That is the worst song ever. I hate that song.
But that's not Poison's best stuff.
No, it's not. But that song, why it was popular, will never make sense to me.
It's about lost love and, you know, and the power ballad was a thing of the...
It's about trying to... No, it's stupid. It's a terrible song and I hate it.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn is a really good song.
I hate that song, man.
That's where we're going to disagree.
No, that's...
Who do you dislike more? Poison or Def Leppard?
Poison.
You should. The correct answer was neither. They're both great.
I like. What is it? What's their good one? Poison. Ooh. Poison.
Nothing But a Good Time.
Yeah, that one I get.
Fallen Angel.
No. Nothing But a Good Time.
Well, Nothing But a Good Time is a really good song.
I get that. That's a good song.
Van Halen or Van Hager?
Van Halen.
Halen's, yeah, like Sammy had his hits, moment. Obviously very good
his moment,
but Van Halen is David Lee Roth, and I think that's it.
Yeah
anyways.
Yeah, no, Poison, nah, not for me. Every Rose Has Its Thorn and Unskinny Bop, that's just bad stuff right there.
Unskinny Bop is a pretty bad song.
That's but just
I'll give you that. Unskinny Bop
it doesn't get much worse than that, my man.
Who's better, Kid Rock or Poison?
Oh, Poison. Kid Rock can fuck himself. Oh,
Kid Rock sucks.
I hate Kid Rock so much.
Yeah, Kid Rock sucks. I've never been a Kid Rock guy. Anyways, there's lots of good songs out there. There's lots of bad songs as well. But you know what? It's the summertime. These songs will come out throughout the summer, around a fire, out in the lake, or wherever whatever you're doing, at the ballpark, between innings. It's actually... 2 weeks from now, I get my first WCBL game in over 2 years. Now, we're having some games getting going again next weekend. I didn't get the first two, but whatever. Get the next one's coming up, so it'll be exciting to get back on the field. We need it, Canada. Get back out there. Get your vaccines. Get it taken care of so we can go out there and lick people's faces and have a good time again. Anything, Jim?
Oh, one thing to anyone listening. Now we have an umpire here. You're back to umpiring back behind the plate. That's super exciting. Message us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email 1420sports@gmail.com. What's one thing you've always wanted to say to an umpire? Like something that you were mad, you made a bad call, you disagreed, something you wish you would have said, but you just didn't. Send it our way, say it to this umpire here, and maybe we'll bring up the best ones we get for next week's podcast.
That's a really good idea, Jim. There was one time a long, long time ago when I had more hairs on my head and everything else that it was actually my birthday. My brother was at a Lethbridge Bulls game against the Swift Current Indians, or the Swift Current 57s now, with 1420 Dave Van Robe is the co-host of the show. And I was walking into the dressing room, and after the game, and I had a really good game, I thought. And Dave, out of nowhere, goes, "Hey, up!" And he yelled something. And I looked up at him, and he threw a beer at me, and he hit me with a beer. I didn't appreciate it very much, but it was a gesture of kindness, I guess, or he would say. It was quite funny, but I kind of wish he wouldn't have done that. But it's something to look back on 20-some years later and have a chuckle about it. So anyways, yeah, that's a good point, Jim. If you've seen some bad calls over the years, or you've yelled at an umpire, give us some stories.
Yeah.
About stuff you've yelled at a baseball field, either if you were playing or as a fan, because there's a lot of stuff that I've heard over the years that are quite humorous. Anyways, good show today there, Jim. Really appreciate you coming on. We'll get you on probably on a bi-weekly basis now. Summer's a little bit busy with you got things going on. You're moving to Vancouver, and I got things going on, golf league and whatever. There's stuff happening, but we'll keep going with the 1420 podcast on a three times a week basis still.
Perfect.
Anyways.
Any hoozle.
Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. More importantly, take care of yourself to need you around. I'll get it right one of these years.
Sometimes.
Keep your stick on the ice. And what else, Jim?
Dave, don't swing at the high ones.
Don't swing at the high ones. Hey, have a good night. We'll talk to you, tomorrow with Dave.
Yeah, tomorrow. Look at that.